Hi, this is Jalen for Dobbs, where tire buying is easy. At GoToDobbs.com, shop brands, sizes, pricing, and our amazing deals. With 40-plus locations, get same-day install. For tires, it's Dobbs.
For deals you can use, click on GoToDobbs.com now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time now for the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Yes, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we have breaking news on this program today. And I got to tell you something. From a surprise standpoint, this is up there. Now, I also would say from a logic standpoint, maybe it makes sense. But, oh boy. Jackson? Brooke Grimsley of The Opening Drive just popped into the studio here as we were about to start Balloon Party, presented to you by Munganess, St. Louis Acura, and Munganess Burkhardt Alton Toyota, to let us know that Katie Wu of The Athletic has just tweeted something that has been retweeted by the 101 ESPN St. Louis account. Jordan Walker has been optioned to AAA Memphis. More to come ASAP. For those of you who are regular listeners of this program, my biggest focal point at this moment, a little shy of a month into the season, has not necessarily been Goldschmidt and Arenado's issues. It's, man, Jordan Walker's now got a full year plus in the majors, and this is not going well. If Goldschmidt falls off and continues to fall off, then so be it. His time in St. Louis probably will be remembered as successful from an individual standpoint, but disappointing that the franchise didn't do more with his likely Hall of Fame career. Arenado, not sure what's going on there. It's getting to be a bit of a concern from the power standpoint. But Jordan Walker is a young guy who I thought was on the verge of becoming the face of the franchise. And this has not been going well for a while. For the record, for those of you not familiar with the numbers, Jordan Walker is hitting a .155. He has zero home runs. He has driven in two, and he has a total of two extra base hits. And the Cardinals, four extra base hits. And the Cardinals have just sent him to Memphis.
Jeff Jones of the Belleville News Democrat also tweeting, Jose Fermin and John King are being recalled. Zach Thompson will join Jordan Walker on the bus to Memphis.
Wow. 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 Day game today. That is why the news is breaking at this time. So the Cardinals will open up the clubhouse. This will be quite a conversation because this is about the year anniversary of him surprisingly getting sent down last year. That was because they didn't like the trajectory of the ball flight off his bat. Here you are a year later and he's hitting a .155. And this is, as we talk about on this show, more of a big picture approach conversation. This comes on the heels of, from a micro standpoint, I would say the worst loss of the year. I don't know. I guess maybe there was another one that might be worse, but 14-1 last night, Steven Matz, back-to-back starts, Roth, Zach Thompson poured gasoline on the fire when he came in. Confusingly, we'll play the sound, I imagine, from Ali Marmol. You have that, and that's certainly a micro issue, isn't that they were not able to carry over the momentum of the walk-off win on Monday night, which I was hopeful would spur something. And instead, you have an announced crowd of 35,000. I would take the under if you were to set the number of actual people in the ballpark of under 20,000. Seeing the team get blown off the field, but a guy who many in the organization, this isn't just like fans saying this, thought could be the future for this team and the future face of the franchise, has been sent down to Memphis in his second year and just the first month of the season. Damning.
Yeah, really crazy. I'll bring up something that I talked about maybe last week or 2 weeks ago. Derek Gould talked about on his podcast on Aaron Judge, who has a similar body type to Walker. Obviously different players, but similar body types, and how he had to adjust at about the same age as Walker to pitching and his body to get that swing to where it needs to be. But he was doing it against college pitching, not major league pitching. So when you look at Walker, possibly getting looks at some AAA guys, guys more his age, more his skill set at the moment, might behoove him to get some of that confidence back. Because it seems to me like if he can get some confidence going with his bat, he's such a naturally good hitter. We've seen it. We saw it last year at moments, saw it last year in spring training. The guy can hit. It just seems to me confidence is a big thing on this. And if he's doing an adjustment in AAA is a much better way to do it, because you're going to get at bats every day. You're going to see more pitching that's going to be helpful when you're making the adjustments. I see the logic behind it, but it's certainly a shock.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with the logic. It's just an overall commentary that I think Jordan Walker's struggles because of the team's performance has probably flown under the radar unless you are really dialed in. And I realize plenty of people who are listening to this, because you're a sports talk radio listener, you would describe yourselves as dialed in. You're going, well, how could people not be aware of this? But if you're a casual fan, or if you're somebody who doesn't get to watch the games like you used to because of the stupid-ass television situation, or you're just like, team's no good, I'm not watching, you are familiar with Jordan Walker, and you are familiar with the justified hype surrounding him. I don't think that this was just a Cardinal thing. This was a MLB analyst and minor league baseball analyst on what this guy was bringing to the table. He was the top prospect, or one of the top prospects. And to have this take place would be super disappointing, even if the team were performing well. But to have it in the context of the teams, I would actually say, this is guy who discovers take while in the midst of hosting the show.
My favorite guy.
Yeah. But I think that this may be, at this moment, the lowest approval rating the Cardinals have had in the last 25 years. I do with it what you want. Again, it's kind of stumble into topic, stumble into take, but hey, just look at the crowd. Yeah. Now, I also think, if we're going to be fair, and I think that's the obligation here, is to be as honest as possible, as fair as possible, the forecast and the conditions leading up to last night's first pitch around the St. Louis metropolitan area did not look like one that would be conducive to a baseball game, and certainly not one that you would want to go on a Tuesday night in those conditions to sit through. NL pennant winners or not,
right.
In the Diamondbacks, not necessarily a team with a lot of cachet, despite their appearance as a six seed in the World Series. But still, if you did watch that, that looked like a day game in September between two teams that are done crowd. It is eye-opening. Today is a beautiful day, a little colder, but it's not like, I mean, it's sunny in the St. Louis area for those of you streaming around the country. And you got a 12:15 start, getaway day.
Yeah.
Jackson, I don't know if you're releasing any plays. Jackson's got a Beantown parlay for you tonight that you'll keep an eye on. But you got Jordan Montgomery on the mound for the Diamondbacks, and you've got Kyle Gibson on the mound for the Cardinals. Point being, you see the attendance. You either hear the anger from fans, read the anger from fans, or, so I keep talking about, the apathy. So therefore, if that's your focal point, Goldschmidt's not hitting, Arenado's not hitting, the team's not winning, Mazalek, DeWitt, Marmol, those are understandable topics. But the one that, from a bigger picture standpoint, I observe and go, oh God, what if Jordan Walker's a bust? Mm-hmm. What if something's wrong with Jordan Walker? Because Jordan Walker was not a bust. Guy was raking better than anybody in the majors in the first 2 weeks of spring training, to the point that he became a story around baseball. Now, I know it was spring training, but still, that it was like, wow, this guy was like a 30th round pick who all of a sudden, you know, we just kind of gave a start to, and he started hitting. This was a top prospect matching or superseding expectation. And then in a game in West Palm Beach that I happened to be at, he slid into second base and came up awkwardly, left the game. And I'm not saying that's the cause and effect. I just know that his numbers then dropped from that point forward. has now been sent down to Memphis in his second year as he's hitting .155. So if you want to go, okay, maybe it ain't going to happen this year, or I don't believe it's going to happen this year, that's fine. And you go, I want him to fire John Mozeliak. I understand people say that. You just have to understand, even though it's not really talked about all that often, John Mozeliak is out of this position after next year. Mm-hmm. He's moving on. I think he's probably going to, I think he is going to take over what Bill DeWitt III is doing now. And I think Bill DeWitt III will become the chairman. I don't know that. That is my speculative play. So he isn't getting fired. People want that. People want him to fire Marmol. Well, keep in mind, they just gave him an extension. Now, if you want to complain about the extension, I'm right there with you. That was one of the most stunning things I've seen in my time hosting shows and doing television. I still don't know. I mean, it was once we took care of the off season, we really liked our club and we wanted to lock in Ollie. And I'm going, who is competing for him? And what was so great about the off season? I don't. There was this victory tour about the off season. So the organization has, I think, unless they're doing some kind of 1989's Major League attempt to blow things up, inadvertently done things to further alienate the fan base with tone deaf behavior. And all of that is what gets attention. I understand it. But if you want to talk about on the field and big picture concerns, the fact that Jordan Walker is hitting .155 and is so out of sorts that he's going back to Memphis for the second time in his big league career, that is a monster. Your thoughts, 314-399-9646. The YouTube chat is active as the day is long, and people are in there talking. And now with this new innovation here in the studio, we can read the comments as they come in on the YouTube chat. So get in there in the 101 ESPN YouTube chat and talk it over. Text into the Air Comfort Service text line, 314-399-9646. For those of you just joining us, Katie Wu with the report 8 minutes ago, Jordan Walker has been optioned Triple-A Memphis. More to come ASAP. It's 10:16 in St. Louis. You are listening to Balloon Party on 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back, Balloon Party 101 ESPN. Tim McKernan, Jackson Burkett with you here. And there is some breaking news this morning. We spent the first segment talking about it. The Cardinals have sent Jordan Walker down to Memphis in advance of their businessman special with the Diamondbacks, 12:15 start today. Walker down to Memphis along with Zach Thompson, who's part of the rotation to start the campaign.
Yeah, and pitched just last evening, as a matter of fact. Even though the Diamondbacks crush lefties, Tim, as Molly Marmol said, yet he brought in a lefty for relief.
So this, I was saying this to Jackson. So this was during the commercial break. I've been following the Cardinals night in and night out since about August of 1982. That's when my memory begins with it. My first Cardinal game was August of 1982. Lonnie Smith inside the park home run against the San Francisco Giants. The delightful Jeffrey Leonard and I believe Chili Davis, but he might not have been on the team, fumbled the ball, skates, circled the bases. And had a inside the park home run. And I can remember my dad screaming as he was doing it. I was there with my mom and dad. I've never seen this in my life. But you could see he was flying, and that ballpark was so cavernous that he was going to do it. The next day, Glenn Brummer steals home. 2 months later, they win the World Series. I'm hooked. So that is how this has come to pass. And I say this with sincerity as far as like my time at the University of Missouri Journalism School and doing television in Little Rock and then St. Louis and radio in St. Louis and podcasting in St. Louis. I really don't know if I want to start with like 1998. So career-wise, I don't know if I can recall 1998. That's where we're going to start with here. 1998 to present day. So essentially the ownership of the DeWitt family on this franchise, which began in 95, after they parted ways with Joe Torre, hired Jocketty, hired La Russa. I don't know if I can think of a time in which the Cardinals have a lower franchise approval rating than at this very moment. And I say that conscious of this industry, which is kind of prisoner of the moment, take Smith, scream, and not wanting to do that. And so saying, I may be mistaken, but 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006 were without question successful, even though 2003 didn't result in the postseason appearance. They were in it until September, and they won, I think, more regular season games than the 2006 World Championship team did. 2007 was certainly disappointing, but they were coming off a World Series win, and Chris Carpenter got hurt on opening night, and they were just never the same. 2008 was not a good year either, but again, if you're 2 years removed from a world championship, you still have equity.
Yeah.
And in 2009, they had a great team, but they just, you know, got swept out of the playoffs. Matt Holliday dropped a ball, unfortunately, in a game that they would have otherwise won, and who knows what happens from that point forward. I think that team was a world championship caliber team. And then, of course, 2010 wasn't great, but they were in it again, and 2011, 12, 13, 14, 15 are all great regular seasons and or postseasons. So unless you would want to go maybe like 2018, but even 2018, all those years they were kind of in it. So when you come, so you said, well, maybe like August of 23, and you might be right, but that was still within a year of the team winning a division championship. This is the carryover of an offseason that the Cardinals are coming off of a last place finish and then sold to the fan base this kind of victory tour about look what we did this offseason. And you know, like Sonny Gray, God, that's outstanding. But that's where it starts and stops. No one was like, yes, Lance Lynn. Oh, Kyle Gibson, great. And that's nothing personal on those guys. It's just looking like Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson, along with the second place finisher in the Cy Young race in the American League, don't equate to turning the whole thing around, because there are bigger issues than just there. But again, as I said throughout the course of the offseason, which probably irritated a lot of listeners on this show and TMA, I understand why they did it. I think they are really in a spot with the television situation. I know fans don't want to hear it, but along those lines, then they compounded it by hyping up the accomplishments of the offseason, which were absolutely overstated, and I think it insults the intelligence of what truly is a knowledgeable baseball fan base. That doesn't mean we're a great city. It just means might not have a lot going on, and people pay attention to baseball because there ain't much else going on, being honest about it. So that's a little insulting, because people know better. Secondarily, one of the things that they were selling, and he's just totally gone, is Yadier Molina.
I was about to bring that up.
Well, I mean, you know, so is Yadier Molina's lurking the reason for the Marmol contract extension, which might have been the most insulting thing of the whole offseason?
No.
And then I realize it's relatively speaking immaterial, but it just speaks to the tone-deaf nature of the organization at this moment. Over the last, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years, I don't know if there was a more polarizing name for the fan base, not because of him and his personality at all, but because of just what it represented, and that was the contract extension given to Matt Carpenter, which up until Ollie Marmol's was one of the most confusing things I had seen, that was the guy that you brought back on the offensive side. And you go, what are they doing? Are they just like doing things to piss people off? Are they like a troll account come to life? And so you go, okay, whatever. I don't know. They're trying to survive this stupid TV thing. Although, telling people Yadier Molina is going to be around and he's nowhere to be found, and extending Ollie Marmol's got nothing to do with the TV contract. And then a month into the season, they're about, you know, I mean, record-wise, this doesn't surprise me. Offensive production-wise, it's stunning.
Yeah.
And now you're sending down a guy who was thought to be truly potentially a guy who could be around St. Louis for the next decade or decade and a half. And it's the second time you've sent him down. Last year, it was because of his ball flight. This year, it's because the ball isn't going anywhere and he's hitting a .155. And so when you combine all of those things, you have either anger or apathy. And either way, neither are good, but the latter is worse. And that is what I sit here, and as a lifelong fan, and now more than half my life doing television, radio, podcasting, I'm going, what in the hell are they doing? It just strikes me as an organization that has just lost its way. Like, what is going well there right now? And this is an organization that nationally, among sports fans, take it out into the baseball realm, nationally, I think, is held up as one of the standards. And locally, is experiencing, in my opinion, its worst approval rating of the DeWitt-owned era of the St. Louis Cardinals. Your thoughts are welcome. 314-399-9646, Air Comfort Service text line. And then the YouTube chat is certainly active, as you might imagine, this morning. Jackson, your thoughts on my rant?
Well, Tim, it seems like Major League Baseball does not disagree with you. The Athletic did a top 10 front offices in baseball, as voted on by 40 baseball executives. And the Cardinals finished with not receiving a single vote. They did not receive a single vote. And so my kind of question was, do you think 5 years ago they were in the top 10 or five?
Yes, I think they're in the top 10. I don't know about top five. I mean, you're taking it back to 2019, and you got to know the context. They're coming off of 16, 17, and 18, which are all kind of middling years.
Yeah.
I just think the thing, you know, why do the Blues, which have some bad contracts and have had two bad years, have the equity? Not, by the way, I don't want to say the Blues have 100% approval and the Cardinals have 0%. That's not the case. But why does Doug Armstrong have the equity he has when he's got some bad contracts and some bad moves of his own, and John Mozeliak has the equity he has, which is not much? And why does Tom Stillman have the equity he has, and then Bill DeWitt is getting more and more and more criticism here as of late? And it's because Armstrong's very direct, which is he perhaps paid for. He said that, as a matter of fact. He said, maybe I was a little too honest. That's what he said in the post-season press conference to wrap up the season last Thursday. Maybe I was too direct in saying, yeah, I didn't think we were that great of a team. And that may have come back to bite me when we parted ways with Craig Berube. But people feel like they're not getting lied to. And I'm not saying the Cardinals are consciously lying to him. I just feel like it's tactics that are just insulting to the intelligence of the fan base, and that turns people off. And so you go, okay, they can BS me. I get it. They got to protect things. I understand that. But then at least show some form of progress. Where do you see any form of progress with the 2024 Cardinals? And I suppose that's a rhetorical question, because the only other person who can answer that live would be you, Jackson. But here are the numbers for the Cardinals at this particular moment. 14th in runs per game in the National League. 14th in runs per game. I mean, bad teams in the National League. As long as the Colorado Rockies are not contracted. 14th in runs per game. 14th in hits. 15th in home runs. That's last. 13th in stolen bases. 11th most strikeouts. 14th in average. 14th in OBP. 14th in slugging percentage. 14th in OPS. 12th in runs against per game. So for all of the pitching is, you know, pretty good. Well, it's because it's versus what our expectations were. 13th in wins, 12th in ERA, 12th in hits, 15th in home runs allowed. That's last. 12th in ERA plus, 12th in whip, 12th in hits per nine. I mean, this isn't opinion. These are numbers. This is objective. Subjectively, they've alienated a large portion of people who lived and died with them. And that is a crisis for the franchise. Your thoughts? Welcome. 314-399-9646, Air Comfort Service text line. The YouTube chat also active as the day is long. We're like 190 people in there today. They're banty. Come on in. It's an active chat. YouTube chat. Tim McKernan, Jackson Burkett with you. It's Balloon Party 101 ESPN.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back to Balloon Party 101 ESPN. I know you had a little Piddles Wide Berth Wednesday planned today.
Hey, listen. When news breaks, you know.
I find myself to be the Walter Cronkite of St. Louis broadcasting. Is that fair, or does that sound too arrogant?
No, I think, yeah. Edward R. Murrow I've heard before, too.
Yeah.
So I think either one. Just not only because of your classically handsome nature.
Thank you.
But your ability to not only inform the people of what's going on, but to touch their hearts.
My gosh. Yeah. Here's a soundbite that'll make you touch your heart. It's Ali Marmol's assessment of Steven Matz's, what did he throw, a complete game shutout last night?
Yeah, four and a third and seven earned runs.
But doesn't he say this is one of his better outings of the...
Well,
okay, let's take a listen. Maybe I didn't understand it.
Yeah. What'd you see from Steven?
I actually thought it was one of his better outings, to be quite honest with you. The line doesn't show that, but from a pitch standpoint, Vila was there, walking the nine hole in that inning that kind of led to some runs, wasn't ideal, but Walker took a good swing off of him. But for the most part, I thought he actually did a pretty decent job. Didn't go our way.
For Steven, I mean, we've seen some encouraging outings from him. The Vila was there. What's the ultimate key from...
These guys are really good against lefties. If you look at their numbers, they've done a really nice job against left-handed pitching. He was actually pretty sharp today. He got beat, hands down. Yeah.
Okay. So he said that was one of his better outings.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the record, would you describe the Los Angeles Dodgers as good or bad? I know you have that website that I've invested in. I'm starting to wonder about my investment, candidly. Goodorbad.com, where you just let people know if the movie is good or bad.
Yeah.
Let's do this with the Dodgers lineup. Good or bad?
Good.
Okay, so 5 1/3 of five-hit baseball with two earned runs allowed would also be good.
Yeah, I would consider that good.
Would you consider that better than 4 1/3, giving up 6 hits and 3 walks and 7 earned runs?
I would consider that better, yes. I would consider the latter bad.
Okay. What about 5 innings of shutout baseball and 4 hits and a walk?
Against the Marlins?
Yes.
Yeah, good.
Okay, but is that better than 4 1/3 of giving up 7 earned runs?
Well, they crushed lefty as Vila was there, so I guess I'll say it's better, but I'm conflicted. I'm ambivalent, to be honest.
Stop pissing down my leg and tell me it's raining. I think that's my overall thoughts on what's going on with the Cardinal organization. The people know better. I'm not saying everybody here is a wizard, but I'm just saying, even if deep down, because you probably were at peace with losing the game a couple hours before you appeared at the podium.
Yeah.
Even if you're kind of like sitting there with Dusty Blake going, you know what? He's just getting beat here tonight. He didn't pitch in too bad. Look at his velocity. Even if that's the case, there has to be an awareness of tone when you sit there and you answer questions, because this is your conduit to the fan base, going, yeah, you know what? That's a really good lineup over there. And if you take a look at the numbers, they crush left-handers. Steven's been really good this year. And from a velocity standpoint, it was there tonight, but that was certainly something that we would have expected better. You say that was one of his better outings. It just becomes the boy who cried wolf kind of stuff. Like, what can I believe? Because you're going to tell me a guy who got run in the 5th inning after allowing 7 earned runs had one of his better outings? You go, well, then what's your bar for a bad outing?
For real.
And if that were just like a one-off, I wouldn't spend any time on it, because then it'd be kind of nitpicking. But it's just like, oh, here's another log on the fire of disingenuous, ridiculous comments from somebody in the front office or in the dugout of the organization. And that is why you're alienating the fan base. There just has to be some semblance of awareness. And this is all rooted in what we discussed at the outset of today's show, and that is Jordan Walker has been sent down to Memphis. The Cardinals just announced that this morning. And that is actually, to me, way more concerning than a 14-1 loss.
Yeah.
Because that is a big picture issue. As bad as Paul Goldschmidt has been, I know he had the game-tying home run 2 nights ago against his former team, but you know, if Goldschmidt falls off completely, hey, it sucks, but he did have a 2022 MVP, and at this point he's older and it happens, and he's off your payroll in 5 months. So whatever. Sucks. It happens. Jordan Walker is one of your assets, and ideally for a good long time, and for the second time in his career, just 2-year career, year and a month career, you've had to send him down to Memphis. He's hitting .155 for those of you just joining us. So the Cardinals have sent Zach Thompson down, who's also a left-hander, and since the Diamondbacks hit left-handers as well, the Cardinals brought in a left-hander face them, who didn't have a real good outing, so much so that he is now on I-55 with Jordan Walker. and the Cardinals have brought up Jose Fermin in addition to John King to replace them on the roster. Fermin, per John Denton, friend of the show, played for Memphis last night, went 0-for-4 to drop his average to .350. He led off consecutive games with home runs over the weekend in the Redbird series with Gwinnett. So he had been trending. The Cardinal lineup today, for the record, Donovan leading things off, playing left. Contreras, good to see him in there after leaving the game early last night. But he said following the game, it's nothing to be concerned about. I think had the game been close, he would have stayed in there. He's hitting second. Arenado hitting third. Goldschmidt cleaning up. Herrera catching and batting fifth. Nootbaar playing right, hitting sixth. Mason Wynn batting seventh, playing short. Nolan Gorman batting eighth, playing second. Michael Ciani is playing center. And your starting pitcher is Kyle Gibson. First pitch against Jordan Montgomery. And the Diamondbacks 12-15 as the Cardinals try to get their first series clinching win of the season. I guess they had, I know I can tell you're looking around, I know they won a series, but they didn't sweep.
No, they have just,
they have not won the third game of a series.
They have not.
Or a fourth game of a series so far this season. Since they sent Walker down, put him at first base to learn the position, he should be our future first baseman. In a vacuum, I would agree with that, but if he can't hit, then you got a problem.
Right.
If he was hitting, totally agree. Totally understand the logic. If you get punched squarely in the nuts five times, and on the sixth they kind of miss and catch more leg than berries, sure, it's better, but I'm still getting punched in the nuts. Don't tell me it's better. That's from the 636. Remember, Ali was never a manager until Mo made him his latest yes man. That's from the 618. That interview aged like milk. That's from the 314. I'll bet Jordan does not sign a long-term deal with the Cardinals. That's from Lisa. And you say Lisa's a
gem.
Gem.
Yeah. On the Marmol comments specifically, there's been times before this season, in fact, where he's kind of defended his guys even after bad. Like Kyle Gibson had a bad outing, but he did, after giving up a lot of runs in the first two innings, came back and pitched like six innings, and it was good. And for that, you could be like, all right, you know what? I can understand you saying, you know, he did better than you thought. This time around, like, there's just no way you're going to spin it to the fan base that you think he had one of his best outings of the year. Like, it's like a guy who and his friends going to see Rocky V, and then after everyone complains about it, saying, actually, I think Rocky V is the best Rocky.
Oh, is that engagement for him?
Yeah, it's like being the smartest guy in the room. Like, of course, like, yeah, you saw 7 runs, but what I saw was velo. Like, I don't give a damn if he's throwing 110 miles an hour. You let up 7 runs in 4 1/3.
You're getting all worked up. Look at you. You're
because I was caping for these guys all.
That's right.
All spring.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden, you're out of the rights holder business.
Well, I can only go so far as.
Yeah, if you would have been spinning this.
There's
a gentleman in the YouTube chat that says, and I got to read it before it moves up with other comments. I don't see a big deal with sending Walker down. He's not hitting well, so that's the place to get a swing back. Well, yes, if you're looking at it through that lens, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the issue. The issue is that they had to send him down because of what you wrote. He's not hitting.
Right.
He's not just like struggling. He's hitting .155 with no power. Oh, man. Yeah. See, that's, like Armstrong said in October before the season started, kind of know where we are. It'd be great to get in the playoffs. Maybe you never know what can happen. Teams deal with injuries. We can make a run. But I want to see the team progress. So in my mind going into this year, it's like, I think they can win the Central, but I think any of the five teams can win the Central because it's the National League Central. But I want to see Walker and Wynn and Gorman take steps forward, because in reality, the chance of the Cardinals being like a 100-win team that's a force going into the playoffs is really remote. Winning the Central, live, because 86 wins might do it. Being a dominating team, really remote. So let's see the guys who are going to be around for the long haul make progress.
Agreed.
And Wynn has done it.
Mm-hmm.
Gorman is not, and Walker has been a disaster.
Right.
And so, yes, I get sending him down. The point is, it's calling attention to, and I'm not saying it's the wrong move, but it's calling attention to the fact that this guy doesn't have it at the moment, and he hasn't really had it for most of his time at the major league level. And that, once you get to a point of now you got about 8 months of major league baseball under your belt, and you're still hitting .155, to the point that the organization's like, this is just really off. We got to get him down to AAA. That is where it's a problem. This is Balloon Party, 101 ESPN.
We're Right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back to McKernan with you. Top of the hour, the great Jackson Burkett with you. The YouTube chat on 101 ESPN. Active as the day is long, and I like to see it. 171 people in there talking. And Eric Cleveland writes this. Jackson.
Okay.
It's crazy, though, how many guys leave and get better. Lane Thomas, Randy Arozarena, Dulles Garcia, what O'Neill was doing before the collision in Boston. Something in the development system is off. That's Eric Cleveland. And that's kind of the core issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is why, for the life of me, you know, when they're saying, okay, we're going to turn it around, I'm like, the same guys who got you into the spot where you were in last place are the same ones that you're entrusting to turn it around. Doesn't make any sense. Kind of insulting to the fan base's intelligence. That's the core issue. I just keep going back to it. Yeah, you see what guys leave St. Louis go and do in the new clubs, and it's tilting. It's nothing personal against those guys. I don't think anybody really has anything against Adolis Garcia. Most people didn't even know anything about him when he left here. But then you see them go and start going off with other organizations, both pitchers and hitters, and it tilts you.
Yeah, definitely.
You have a little fun one afternoon and put together a former Cardinals in the major leagues roster, and you'd have yourself a nice ball club.
I was about to say, like, you'd be pretty, you know, geez, your outfield alone would be pretty nasty, not to mention your starting rotation would be really good.
Yeah.
Bullpen, well, no, Jordan Hicks would be a starter. Oh, God. You'd have Hicks, Monty, Alcantara, Gallen. That's like about as good as like the Dodgers can put out there.
I'm telling you. And I mean, this is so just like, this is like you in uniforms.
Uh-huh. But
the Lane Thomas, John Lester thing, in the moment, I'm going, what are they doing here?
Yeah.
Not because I'm like, Lane Thomas is going to go off for the Nationals, best not do it. I'm just like, I mean, he's still, it isn't a closed book that he's done.
Yeah, right.
And you're getting 2 months of a guy who cannot wait to get in a tree stand to like just get through the season. That's how bad you've messed up your rotation to have to do that deal at 2021, the deadline, that you're parting with a guy who was starting at times for you with Lane Thomas. I think he's up to 12 stolen bases now for the Nationals. He was an all-star. I mean, what was that? I mean, that one doesn't get, because there's so many others, it's like that one flies under the radar. What the hell was that? And it's like, well, John Lester actually helped him. And I'm like, oh, it's so results-oriented. I can't do the results-oriented thing.
That move is like, I'm always going to make a basketball equivalent, is like throwing up a hook shot from 40 feet with 1 second on the shot clock, making it, celebrating while the other team goes on a fast break and scores on the other end.
Nicely done, Jackson.
Yeah.
When in doubt, go basketball. John, do you pronounce that Shansley? Shansley? Shansley?
Let's go Shansley.
Okay. He says we'd have a hell of a team with our former players.
Yeah.
Aaron Henley, the Cards front office has been taking a dump on the fans' heads for years. Then they want us to say thanks for the hat. Ooh, how about that?
And a red hat at that, not even a navy road
cap.
Yeah,
or a navy hat, I'd be more at peace with it. I was like, I got like, whoa, no. When John Mozeliak was doing his Q&A at winter warm-up, and somebody question something, and he goes, hey, excited about Yachty coming back? And I'm going, oh my God, he is bright, shiny light, this guy.
I know, like, and like to people's faces. Like, it's like, the proof's in the pudding. He hasn't shown up.
Right.
At all, like, at any capacity.
The theory on that, if you want a conspiracy theory.
I would like to.
Is that he was under the impression he was in waiting to be manager, and then they extended him to quiet all of that in case they got off to, say, a start where they were like this, and people started clamoring for Yadi or Molina.
It's like a weird hedge move where you like bring on Yadi, maybe wait him in the wings, but also keep Marmol.
But then you keep him away.
Yeah.
But either way, the guy was always like a guest camp counselor.
Yeah.
He was never going to be like in the Descalzo role.
Yeah. That was
a PR thing.
Yeah,
I just don't get it. You know, it's 10:56, so it's really kind of too late to get into a deep dive on it. But the Nonling, Kevin Lorenz, who used to be a producer on TMA, big Blues guy, but loyal Balloon Party guy and a sharp guy too. He asked this question. He texted me and he said, "Would the Cardinals have a better approval rating with fans if they swung the pendulum the other way and cried poor with the TV deal questions? On one hand, they'd have to contend with the fans who expect them to lose money operating the business. On the other, fans won't feel like they're being lied to about obvious roster issues." That's a good question.
Better question I've asked in a month. Kind of stand on my corner there. Not, okay.
You don't like that he's two TMA producers, two producer wars here. Yeah. I know I would appreciate. I remember, I mean, Doug Armstrong said those words about, yeah, we're just not one. We're not up there with Dallas and Colorado. And, you know, best case scenario, we finish third place. And I'm like, wow, yeah. I can't believe he just said that.
Yeah.
But then I got to tell you, I appreciated it.
It's honest.
Yeah. Now, I didn't get then firing Berube when they were right around where the expectations were, but whatever. I appreciated that. I don't know. There has to be some kind of reasoning for it. I just don't know what it would be. Yeah. I don't know. I guess let me try to play that out. If you're saying, hey, the reason why this team is so bad, that alienates the guys on the team. And the reality is, in this division, most likely, I don't look at the division with everybody playing about 25 games now and going, I realize there are some good records, good being relative. There aren't anybody doing what the Guardians are doing, but like the Brewers and Cubs have good records. Yep. The Pirates started off, bats out of hell. They fell back, but they've won a couple in a row now. And go, ooh, Cardinals aren't going to be able to contend with them. You know, they can contend. I know they got swept by the Brewers, but they could contend with the Brewers. Oh, they can't catch the Brewers. They can't handle the Cubs. And go, why would we publicly crap on our team? But I don't think you have to crap on your team to address something that you could say, hey, you know, we've been owning this team and we'd like to think that everybody would agree. Even if you're frustrated right now, we've had a great deal of success since our family and a number of other many people who were St. Louisans bought this franchise almost three decades ago. We realize it's disappointing right now. No one's more disappointed than us. But we are at a moment, a crossroads for this franchise, which you love and we love, but also has to be operated as a business with a large portion of our revenue. For you, it's frustrating because you don't know when you're going to be able to watch games. For us, it's frustrating because you aren't able to watch games. And in addition, about a third of our revenue is now in question going forward. And therefore, we have to operate fiscally a little more conservatively than we used to. That doesn't mean that we're pulling it in going forward, but it does mean we have to be a little more careful at this particular moment. But it is our primary goal to return a contending team to the field. And in addition, return access to our fans for every single Cardinal baseball game on television. And we will not stop until that goal is accomplished. I think that would mean a hell of a lot more than, boy, that was one of Steven Matz's better outings as he gave up seven earned runs in four and a third. But what the hell do I know? All right, time for us to go. BK and Ferrari are up next for Action Jackson. I'm Tim McKernan. This has been Party Driven by Munganess. St. Louis Acura, Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton Toyota on 101 ESPN and the 101 ESPN YouTube channel.
You've been listening to The Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.